Welcome to the Hidden Potential Podcast. I'm your host, Homer Hargrove. In today's episode, we're going to be learning about how to host your own event. At the end of this episode, I'm going to give you three takeaways to be able to apply directly into your organization. And every single week, I give you content to be able to help you tap into your potential as a leader and in order to help you learn practical and mental ways to better reach your potential. With that being said, let's start with a big thought, and that is hosting an event can either be exciting or terrifying, depending on whether or not you know what you're doing. And if we were honest with ourselves, I think we could all say that there's many times where we have no idea what we're doing. But when you lead your first event, you quickly realize that it's a lot easier said than done because of how much work it takes and because of how many details are easy to forget about. Today, I'm going to give you some essential event planning lessons to help you making a greater impact to be able to take your event to the next level. It is going to be able to equip you in both regular events that you have and also potential bigger standalone events that you may have in the future. The reason that this is so important to talk about is because there are many events, and I mean many events, that appear to be outright sloppy and uninspiring. And not only is it disappointing for the people that you want to reach out to, but it's discouraging for you when you have an event that didn't feel great. Even though individuals put so much work, time, and energy into these events, they almost feel like it was all for nothing, like it wasn't worth it because it didn't meet the expectations. You have vision. These people have vision, and you just may need some help in articulating that vision into your event effectively. And so that's why we're going to talk about this today. I'm going to talk about three big pillars with event planning, and that is planning, preparing, and promoting. To start off with planning, I want us to just get to the basics. And if you're an experienced event planner, this might all seem elementary to you, but I remember in the moments when I was planning my first events, there's so many things I overlooked, so many things where I didn't know. You don't know what till you don't know. You don't know what you don't know. And so planning, when you're simply planning the event, you want to start big, you want to start broad, and work your way down to the details. But be sure not to forget about the details. So begin with identifying your reason of why your event would be good to have by listing what your overall goal is for the event. Why do you need this event in the first place? That's what you want to answer. What is the goal? What do you want to achieve? And then work out whether or not you have some secondary goals to achieve. So you have a primary goal and perhaps there are some secondary goals. And once you do that, show what it is that you're wanting to do in this event and how this would be able to fulfill these goals through your event. So if you're going to have for example, on a smaller event scale, like a church service, the what is the message being the primary for most churches and the secondary being like worship and other elements. And how is that going to bring about your overall goal? For churches, it's usually either bringing people to Christ or edifying people's faith. And so you're really just breaking down the why, the what, and the how. And again, it may seem trivial to say that you need to do that, but you'd be surprised of how many events are created or planned or done off of the basis of someone just wanting to do it because they saw somebody else do it. And you could do the same things that another group did, but if you don't have your own why, if you don't have your own inspiration, it will turn into shambles. You need to have this on lock. This is the most important part. Now that you have an overview of your event, start working out the details by simply creating a run sheet. Make a run sheet and begin big and work your way small by starting out what time you want your primary event to begin. Identify when you want the primary event to begin and then start to work out the every event piece to begin and how long you want it to be. Do the same for your primary and the secondary pieces of your event. So again, as a church service, for example, that's smaller event, much smaller, but You have the primary, say, like the message, and then you have the secondary. You want to know, when is this going to start and how long is it going to be? Once you identify the main things, you can finally go through from start to finish on a timeline for your event and identify all of the things that you need to happen before, in between, during, and after. And while you're going through this run sheet, list out the different tasks that would need to be done prior to the event taking place and consider the details with each piece of your timeline, doing your best not to leave anything out. So again, I'm talking, you need to think timeline before, during, in between things, and after. For example, if your event is going to have food, where is that food coming from? This is the planning part. Where is that food coming from? Who is cooking the food? Who is preparing the food? Who is going to serve the food? What utensils, trays, plates, warmers? Does the food need to stay hot? Or other items are needed for this? Where will signage be to identify foods or lines to identify where the food is, to identify where the line starts, where the line ends? Is there a flow to the line? Is it buffet style? Do people throw away their own plates? And if so, where are the trash cans going to be? Are the trash cans that you have big enough, or do you need multiple trash cans or to buy a new trash can? Where are the people going to sit while they're eating? Who is going to clean up, and when is that going to happen? See, these are all just a bunch of questions just surrounding the idea of whether or not there's going to be food. Every piece of the event needs this line of questioning, and it helps to imagine yourself actually going through the event. Imagine that it's the day of the event. What does it look like? And at every stop of that event, like I park in the parking lot, I get out. What do you want to be seen in the parking lot, if anything? When I walk through the doors, what do you want people to see in that moment? Are they greeted? Is the door open for them? Do they just walk in? And just work your way all the way to the end of the service. As you're pulling out of the parking lot, what do you want the people to feel or experience or think? And then continuing forward into the cleanup, the teardown. I think one of the best, one of the most amazing things I remember seeing early on when I first started getting involved in ministry, and I remember going to this conference, and everyone was so blown away by like the soundboard, like, oh my gosh, if we had a soundboard, that would change our whole church. It's like we get so caught up in the items of a big experience. But what was most amazing to me is I remember seeing this area where they had food. They had free food available, people serving it. And there is a sign that was pre-made. It wasn't just a little sign that someone wrote with a Sharpie on it. It was a sign that said brisket. And it was specifically like printed on this poster board sign. And I remember just being amazed that, man, they literally planned and prepared for this sign to be made just for the brisket. I thought, man, if I was making an event, this would have been a last minute thought for me, and we would have just got some paper folded in half and wrote on a Sharpie brisket. They thought of everything. And that's what you want to do when you're planning an event, is try to think of everything in between. You do this same kind of detailed questioning for each of the items on your run sheet. Once you do that, you're doing the planning successfully. Details matter. Now let's talk about preparing. Now that you have everything planned out, it's time to start putting it into motion through preparation. Just like before, start big and then go small. Knock out the essential parts of your event first, and then fill in the gaps. What I mean by this is like booking the location, transportation, and other key components of the event, and make sure that these things are all set first, because everything else fits into them. For example, if you're like getting a guest speaker and you're trying to book a guest speaker, you want to get that first and make sure that if you want someone specific, if they're available on the day that you have in mind. And same goes for the location, the venue you want to use. the reason that you need to do this first is because sometimes people will try to do the snowball approach and do the little things first, knock out all these little simple tasks first, and then you'll work your way to the big ones. Well, when you do that in event planning, you could end up very high, most likely, doing double work. Meaning if you ordered all of the chairs first and then you ordered the catering for a specific date and you start working your way up until now you're ready to order the venue, and all of a sudden you realize that they're not available, that venue isn't available on the day that you had planned, but you had already ordered the chairs and the food and all these other little details, you're going to have to go back and change all the things you had already done because it doesn't fit. So again, start with the most important things first and then work your way smaller so that you don't end up doing double work and wasting time. There's also the time that you set up your key support. This is where you set up in the preparation phase, set up your key support, and whether it's volunteers, staff members, or vendors, get everything ordered and everything, every position filled. If you want greeters at the door, prepare for greeters to be at the door. Don't think the day of like, oh man, someone should be opening the door. You want that position filled in advance. You want to try to have as much as you can done and ready before the actual event, as early as you can manage, because you don't want to be worrying about last minute stuff the day of your event. Because you are already going to be focused. You're going to want to be focused on the event. And it will end up overwhelming you if you have to worry about all these little piddly tasks that you forgot about. You want to flow on the day of your event. You want to flow, and you won't be able to flow if you're distracted with different details and tasks that were procrastinated or overlooked in the past. And so on that note of preparation, what you also need to do is prepare yourself mentally, physically, and spiritually. Don't forget to pray. If it's a really big event, you might want to fast. You have some worship time. You need to be sure to get proper sleep the night before the event. It is not a time to stay up all night watching a movie or doing something that you shouldn't be doing. You just want to get good sleep. You want to eat well. Don't eat anything out of the ordinary before your event, because if you get a messed up stomach the day of your event, that's going to be hard. You want to take care of yourself up to the event, and especially the night before. Be prayed up, be spiritual, be mentally and physically alert and ready to go, so that you will be able to truly enjoy the event yourself as you're focusing and running it. Now let's go into our final stop, which is the promotion of the event. Some of the most effective forms of promotion is personal invite and posting online. We're gonna just focus on those two things, because depending on how big of your event is, you want to plan it to be far enough in the future for you to have enough time to promote it. It is not a good idea to, like, you know what, we should do an event, let's have it 2 weeks from now. That's really not wise. I would say that if the event is less than 50 people, the minimum would be 3 to 5 weeks. That could be reasonable depending on what you're wanting to do. But kind of the idea is like at least minimum a month away. And if it's around 100 people that you're wanting to expect, 6 to 8 weeks, that's more of a gravy spot that you want to be. A month and a half to 2 months away, that is a much more prime spot to be, even if you were getting 50 people. And if it's more than 200 people, you want 3 months minimum. If it's more than 500, you should shoot for 6 months. And if it's 1,000 people or more in attendance, then you're gonna need 9 to 12 months in advance. Now, if this is your first event, you're most likely planning between 50 and the 200 range of attendance. And let's understand that a personal invite is one of the highest rates of return when it comes to promotion. I was in sales for a hot minute, and literally person-to-person sales is one of the most effective ways of how sales work. And it has the best return. Doing cold calls, having in-person talks with people. And especially when you have your own network. So that means exhausting your network of people, whether it's friends, family, people that you've just met over the years, that you want to invite those who actually know you and those who are, and ask those who are close to the event to do the same. So the idea of, say you have a ministry and you're inviting everybody and their mother to this event that you're planning, whether it's through calling them, texting them, meeting them in person, emailing them, you want to ask those who are helping you with the event to do the same. And it is also, it is helpful to have a graphic for the event to be able to text to people and print out to give to people that you interact with. So an idea, if you're in a ministry and you're planning a specific event, then every week you would want to have a handout, a graphic for people to tangibly feel to take away with them to remind them of this event that's so important. And you want to also have that same graphic as easy enough, accessible enough that you could text it to someone and they can share it with their friends and family. If you are expecting people in your group to extend that personal invite as well, you're asking people to invite, I would urge you to consider making a text template for them that they could copy and paste, that they can use themselves. Asking them to just, it's one thing to say, hey guys, invite everybody you can. It's another thing to text out a template for them to use. They can adjust it however they need, but you're giving them all the tools to be able to invite people rather than just asking them to go do one extra step. You'll have a lot more people engage if you give them the right tools. Equip your people. Now let's talk about posting online. Again, personal invite is the best rate of return. Posting online is key in our world today. Online promotion is able to reach people instantly, and it's mostly free. It's one of the best ways to reach out. And there's several ways to create online content, but we're gonna just look at two simple ideas. You can do posts and videos. And with anything that you post, you want to strive to make it actually good content. You want it to look good. And with anything, with this kind of content, I want you to just be honest with yourself, because if making a graphic isn't your forte, find somebody who can do a decent graphic. Don't try to just do something. And I would even ask you to consider what other organizations do, what their stuff looks like, and use theirs as a template to copy. Rather than trying to do it yourself, because they most likely have someone that's trained to do it. So you don't have to reinvent the wheel, but you could still make it personal. You use your own colors. Just use it as a template, as an idea. And if you don't have anybody and it's just you, consider getting a professional to make that graphic for you, to make some content if you struggle with it. Because if it looks bad, people will think that the event will be bad. It's as simple as that. And for your post, you want it to be visually attractive when it comes to the content, like the way that it looks. You want it to be visually attractive, and you only want blips of key information. Sometimes you'll see organizations that put like whole sentences on their graphic, and that's like for a flyer. If you're making a poster, you could do that a little bit, but you're talking about just a social media post. You want just blips of information. And it should just say like things like the name of the event, who's hosting the event, the location, the time, if there's a registration fee, website, phone number. You don't want to, in a sense, make this enticing sentence, try to make an enticing sentence for people to read. And you also don't want to use something that, in a sense, isn't attractive either. Like, you'll commonly see churches say like, we're having a fellowship that's going to have food, fun, and fellowship. And I don't know about you, but that's not enticing. That's not inspiring for me to go to. They could get by just putting the name of the event. Pool party, hot dog pool party. It's like, make the title self-explanatory to where you don't need to do a whole nother sentence. And for a videos, you want to try to hit 90 to 30 second videos. The shorter is better. And the video can either be of you or someone else talking about the event. It can be pictures, it can be video clips of what to expect at the event. But only use your own actual videos and photos. You don't want to, this is not a place where you want to necessarily pull from other people, because it will be misleading. And if people recognize that those are not your photos or not your videos, it comes across, it just doesn't come across good. If it is real obvious, it makes you look bad. It does not look good for your content. And whether you're posting on your feed or your story, you should strive to post 5 times a week. And on this note, I think that you should really try to hit these videos, because especially in like the niche right now is videos, and whether it's inspired by TikTok or whatever, but like videos are really what's dominating the social media area right now. And even if it's just a clip of you sharing your heart, you know, think about that. That's a really powerful thing. If you just share your heart on a video, it's 20 seconds long, and it will be enticing and inspiring for people to go. You can make another video just saying like, at this event, we're going to have X, Y, and Z. It's going to be, I'm really excited about this. And you're wanting to just, again, like kind of give highlights. And with everything that you post, just consider, do I think that this would be something that would inspire me? Would this inspire me? Would this inspire me? Would this inspire me? And if you're honest with yourself, it'll help you to be guided in creating good content. And just know that, just do your best, forget the rest, and don't try to pretend to be someone you're not. If you're a smaller group, don't try to pretend to be you're a mega church. Like, just allow yourself to be what you are. And be authentic in your content, be authentic in your videos. And dude, people will go. People will be inspired just by your authenticity. And people will be willing to try it out. Don't try to pretend to be something you're not, because people can tell. All that being said, I hope that this was helpful for you today. And we talked about planning, we talked about preparing, and we ended with promoting. Let me give you 3 takeaways for you to use at the end of this episode. It's number one, if you haven't already, write out the planning process for your own regular events in order for you to refine and make better what you already do. So do this whole process with what you're already doing. It will make it so much cleaner, so much better, and you'll probably increase your reach just by following what we talked about today in your regular stuff. Now, number two, plan your next event. Get your feet wet by switching things up with some new goals and break out of your ordinary routine. It'll be healthy for you to try an event. And I think sometimes we get a little timid that we're not ready yet. You may be surprised at the outcome. Do what we talked about today and you'll have some good results. And number three, make a promotion schedule on social media to post for 5 days a week for a month for your organization so that you can really start engaging online. All that being said, thank you for tuning in to today's episode. I hope that was edifying for you. I hope that I made a difference in your leadership. Could you do me a favor? Could you leave a rating and review to this episode? It really helped me out and help other people to be able to see this content as well. I really appreciate what you do. Until next time, have a good life.